Tommy Blaise, you know, I was working out recently that we've done, certainly last New Year's Eve with you, a Christmas before that. So this is your third time on RT Lyric Live, and I have to say it's a great pleasure to have you back, and a great pleasure also to hear you actually talk for a change.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a pleasure to be back, and I've really enjoyed the last couple of years coming over and spending New Year's and Christmas. So I'm really excited to be back and really looking forward to the show.
It wouldn't be Christmas or New Year on this programme at any rate without you, Tommy, that's for sure. But I think this is the first time that I've actually ever done a concert like this, where it is exactly the same cast, the same musical director in Guy Barker, the same orchestra exactly, in exactly the same venue, at exactly the same time as a year ago, probably with almost exactly the same audience, who knows? So it's a bit like we've had the longest interval ever, an interval of about a year. But of course, you've been busy, everybody's been doing things, and you particularly, because this is the year in which you hit the road. You finally went on tour on your own.
I did, yeah. It's been quite an amazing, fantastic year, and especially the solo tour, which when we talked about doing it, I was getting quite nervous because I like to hide behind orchestras and bands or an instrument, a keyboard or whatever. And it was going out there and telling stories like a lifeline. A timeline of like when I started in 1972 with my brothers, the Blaise Brothers, and going right up to today and my sessions, my time spent in Ibiza with bands and different things. And it was a joy to actually, it was cathartic. You felt like it was almost therapeutic getting out there and just chatting to the audience. And it was very, very intimate. You know, it was just me, a ukulele, a piano, and some guitars, and we just sit there and chat, and I really enjoyed it. But the only sad thing was we never got to Ireland, so I'm hoping that, you know, we can get some dates in Ireland. We've been talking about it, so hopefully my manager and everybody will have a look at that.
We feel nearly left out, you know, but I'm sure you'll make up for it. You'll make up for it very soon. But you know, Tommy, it seems to me that you are, and we know you as one of the most ubiquitous singers in the whole business. And I say that because, of course, of your association with that show. What is it? Yeah, the one with all the dancing in it and the BBC. Strictly Come Dancing. I don't think probably anybody ever mentions it to you, but nevertheless. Nevertheless, that is a very pre-subscribed and extremely demanding programme to do. We come to it a little bit later on. When I think of you, I think Tommy Blaise, you know, jazz singer, yes. And I think, no, maybe a soul singer, no, northern soul, musical theatre. I mean, you can do it all, but I'm very interested to know, and I'm sure everyone else listening is too, how do you actually think of yourself as a singer?
I used to sort of categorise it in the veins of soul and jazz and whatever. But Louis Armstrong said the most brilliant thing. He said there's only two types of music, good and bad. You know, so I try just to do the good music, no matter what style it is. It could be an old classical piece. It could be a piece of Latin. It could be a pop thing or whatever. And I just try to do it as good as I can. And I really believe what he says, you know, two types of music, good and bad. And that's the way I sort of... look at people will categorize me as a soul singer, they might categorize me as a big band singer, but that's great, you know. I just see myself as a singer.
Do you know, Tommy, it's so true, and it's unfair in a way to categorize anyone as a singer, because at the end of the day it's all to do with artistic expression and the experiences that you've had as well. And your experiences are extraordinary. I mean, you've worked with so many remarkable singers yourself.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to. Before we started Strictly, I was doing a lot of sessions and stuff on people's albums, whether it was playing keyboards or whether it was singing or backing vocals and stuff. And then I go out and tour with them, many different artists. So I've been really lucky, you know, to sit on stage with Aretha Franklin and Stevie Wonder and people like that. So. Yeah, I feel really blessed. It's nice. It was nice sort of in the session world. You wake up, you didn't know what you're doing the next day or who you're going to be working with or whatever the next week. So that was really nice. And so nothing got stale, you know. You sort of like, one day you might be doing a piece of film music, the next day you might be working with somebody at the Albert Hall or whoever, or Take That, or you know. Yeah, I just feel very lucky and honoured to have played with so many people and sang on their albums.
And do you find yourself, Tommy, absorbing a lot of that? Do you think it really affects your own performance and the way you sing yourself?
I think when it comes to making the music and stuff, you take whatever you've got, you've learnt in the session world and whatever, and adapt things like the backing vocals, whatever. I might arrange them a certain way because I've maybe played with someone that way, and you've heard an arrangement that you really like. So, but most of the time, no, I just go with the fly. Just see. I'm quite spontaneous, so I like to see what just happens and what comes out. And I love that sort of spontaneity of just a real performance, just like an interview. You know, if you preset the questions first, you don't get that spontaneous answer type thing, you know. So, yeah, I just like to go with that flow a lot of the time.
That's so true.
That makes sense.
It's so true. you mentioned Louis Armstrong there, and of course he plays a part, and his influence is running through a lot of the music that we're hearing tonight. Last year it was Gatsby and Beyond, the music of the 20s. Now we've moved into the 30s and the 40s.
Yeah, fantastic. Still another great era of music, you know. For me, the best eras of music were between the 1920s and the up to the 1970s. That's where I get most of my joy of music. And I'm not as keen to sit and listen to popular music as I used to, because I find myself going back and trying to find the stuff that I missed from the 1920s onwards up to the 1970s, you know.
That's interesting, yeah. Tommy. So are you saying that you find quite a lot of the material that you use today, for example, on your own solo tour, might come from this era?
Definitely. You know, and I was brought up with people like the Platters and the Drifters and Matt Monro and everybody else. So I really appreciate music before my time. And I think you soak it up, don't you? You soak all these little things up. I didn't realise how much I listened to Matt Monro until I started singing some of his songs. And I'm thinking, how come I can get so close to the feeling that he's... It's because as a youngster, you know, I'd heard it quite a lot, and it sort of like just drops into your consciousness, I think.
You know, Tommy, one of the appeals, I think, of Strictly Come Dancing is that it reminds me, actually, of, in many ways, the golden age of variety. On the BBC, ostensibly, you know, and our childhoods would have been much of the same era, I imagine, when that really was a window on the world and a window culturally for so many of us.
What I love about Strictly is you could be 6 years old or you could be 96 years old, and you're going to sit there and get something out of the show. It is that lovely thing where you get to see costumes, you get to see beautiful dancing, you get to hear a live orchestra, live music. It comes through the TV, you know. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the American version where they haven't got the band anymore and they play to tracks. And there's something dead about it. Something massive is missing, and that is definitely the live orchestra and the audience getting involved with the orchestra and the band and stuff. And I think that comes through the telly. And but there used to be so much of it back in the day, and Strictly seems to be the only one that is doing it at the moment, you know.
And also, Tommy, you have been with that right from day one.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to sit in that chair right in the middle since day one. Bruce used to say to me, "Tommy, you've got the best seat in the house. Look after it, you know." And he's right. You know, there's a beautiful seat. You know, sometimes the scenery in front of me when we're singing and whatever. But every now and again, you get to watch some beautiful, beautiful things. You know, and I feel like I've got the best ticket in town.
You know, Tommy, I think it was some. I think I remember you saying it was Len Goodman. I think you said you're right in the very early days. I think it was at the pilot stage, nearly, of the program. You know, this is never going to last. It's not working.
He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, we'd done the pilot, and at the old TV centre, everyone We'd go into the old circle, maybe have a chat, cup of coffee, cigarette, whatever. And Len was out there, and he said to me, he said, "What are you doing next week, Tom?" I said, "Oh, I'm not sure. Why, Len?" I was thinking he's going to give me a gig or something. He said, "I don't think this is going to last long, is it?" But there we go, you know, so 20-odd years later.
You mentioned the wide appeal of that, Tommy, too, after 20 years, that it still works and that people still love it. And I have... there are two little distinct groups, one in Killaloe, where I live, and one in Belfast, where I'm from, where there's a certain little group of us who get together at least once during the series, at any rate, and watch it together, and where, of course, we're all complete and utter experts on it, apparently. And, you know, I can't dance at all, but I imagine myself dancing through it. And we believe that, you know, a Tommy song, a song that you sing, we feel is worth at least 3 to 5 points extra. And if I was in Strictly Come Dancing, I was in the dance-off, and I know I probably would be, because I have the original two left feet, so I would be in the dance-off. But if my opponent got a Tommy song and I didn't, I would appeal to head judge Shirley immediately.
That's really funny.
But it's true. It's true, Tommy, and you proved it this year. This year's, I think, had a special effect. I think, you know, everywhere in here in Ireland, it's also captured the imagination, because Chris, the winner this year, who's blind, just amazed everybody with not just his dancing, but the whole strength of character and the approach and the optimism and his wonderful personality. Everything about that was just so life-enhancing, I think, for anyone who watched it from the beginning and watched it develop. But it was interesting what he said about you. It was before the final, actually, I think, and he was saying about one of the dances that he did was to "You'll Never Walk Alone," of course, great Liverpudlian kind of anthem in a way. I mean, it is probably better known through that context than as it was originally intended in the musical. I think it was Carousel or wherever it was that it emerged. But of course, we associate that with Liverpool. But he said that, you know, not only was he so involved in that particular number with his partner, but also with Tommy and Tommy's voice. And it struck me that what he was saying, what that implies, really, because you couldn't help but think, now, for someone like that, how do they perceive it in their head? You try to get into that way of thinking. What makes that possible? And I imagine that he wasn't just actually dancing with his partner, but in that particular instance, he's also dancing with your voice.
I felt like I was inside the song with them, which is very rare on Strictly when you have a 1-minute 30-second edit of the song to try and get, you know, into the song. But luckily enough, me and Chris are both Liverpool fans, so we know this song inside out. And he texted me the week before the final to say, you know, we're going to be doing this again in the final, and good luck and everything and whatever. And it was just the most beautiful message from him. And he did say that he might not be able to hold it together, you know, near the end, because I also texted him back going, "Hope I can get to the end of the song without, like, you know, losing it, you know." And he said he wouldn't be able to. And he was right. When he got to the end of the song, He just sort of lost it a little bit. And there was a bit at the beginning of the song when I started, I could feel this lump rising in my throat, and I just had to grab onto every piece of discipline I could.
I was going to say, you're the one who couldn't let go.
Yeah, and I was really really weary of that, and fearful of it as well, you know, that you might start it and start sobbing and messed everything up for everybody, you know. But it was one of them, I could feel the emotion going through, you know. And especially that, there's a part of the dance where they're apart and they're separate and they go to walk to each other, you know, they're walking alone until they meet, and then they go into the spin. And I couldn't look up at that point, because I knew if I had seen that, that would have got me. I watched it back later on the TV, and that's when it really got me. But I couldn't put my head up actually on the live performance and look at that point, because I think I would have lost it by then.
You know, Tommy, there's also that very strong emotional connection with Liverpool. There's something about Liverpool in popular culture. It really has it's a place, a city, a place, a people who have embedded themselves in popular culture. I mean, you think of all the obvious things like the Beatles and Jerry and the Pacemaker and Cilla Black and all of that and the Cavern Club. But way beyond that, in the 70s, so much drama set there, Willie Russell, Carla Lane, writers like that. What is it about Liverpool, do you think, that connects so easily with the rest of the world?
I think it's an honesty. And I tell you where else I see it, in Belfast, and I see it in Glasgow. There's just a real honesty about the people, and they like to tell it the way it is, with the heart on the sleeve. And with that honesty, I think everything else just comes out, you know, and makes a city so special. I shouldn't even say this, but there's that lovely thing where, you know, in Liverpool, no one buys the Sun newspaper in Liverpool. It's like they all got together and went, no, Evertonians, Liverpudlians, no, we're never going to buy that paper again, blah, blah, blah. And they stuck to it, you know, and so there's that comrade thing in Liverpool. If they get upset, they will tell you, and they won't let it go, type thing. And I think that lovely honesty in people, it just shows through the city, you know. It's a beautiful place to live. I moved back here 5 years ago after living in London for 30-odd years, mainly to get my accent back. which I found myself, you know, finishing off words and talking.
I do. It's very
faster than I normally do.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's very, very infectious. I loved the Liverbirds when I was young on the BBC, and I thought I ended up with a Liverpool accent myself, but I won't dare. I won't be displaying it now. But do wonder, do you think, Tommy, growing up there and your initiative, were they affected? Do you think your music was affected by growing up in Liverpool?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Ringo lives a couple of streets, or lived a couple of streets away. He went to the school just at the top of the hill where I live, St. Silas. And so music, it's so in the city. And where I'm from in Toxteth, which years ago was the black area and the area where people, immigrants would come and settle there and start their life in Liverpool or whatever, it's just had this thing about music. You know, we have the Real Thing. Who were fantastic, but really underrated bands like the Chants and the Christians and all these people who are, you can hear it in their music. That there's a real thread of Liverpool going through the city, coming through their music. You know, I can feel it. I find it hard to explain what it is.
I have a feeling there's a keyboard near you right now. Would you like to play us out?
I'm right in front of it now. Can you hear that?
I can. We can.
Let me pull a piano one, sounds better. Oh, that's more like a string. So. Can you hear that?
Yes.
I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you.
From all of us here, Tommy, and all of us in RT Lyric Live, I wish you a very happy new year and lots more music in it.
Thank you very much, and the same to you and all your listeners. Have a fantastic new year. It's going to be great.
Tommy Blaise, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.